Look, I'm looking forward to a great weekend of getting to know everybody. And it suddenly struck me about 3 days ago that being a journalist is one of the most, in some countries, one of the most dangerous occupations on earth. And at the same time, the calling of being a Christian is also one of the most dangerous occupations. So you put those two together, a Christian journalist seeking truth, and it's potentially the deadliest, most dangerous job on earth. And particularly our friends from Asia here, I'm looking forward to learning from you guys over the next couple of days, and it's a real privilege to be among you this weekend. In 2002, I had the surreal experience, speaking of meeting people, of meeting Queen Elizabeth II. And it was at the end of her Queensland tour. That's why Queensland is called Queensland. And she'd spent a week around the state, and at the end of it, on the last day, we were shocked out of our boots to get a gold embossed invite that invited us to tea with the Queen. So we went down to the the Royal Hotel, and we were given a full protocol briefing of what to do and not to do. So only speak to the Queen if she speaks to you. Only shake her hand if she shakes yours. Their exact words were, on your first meeting, you should refer to her as Her Majesty. And following that, in the next set few sentences, you can refer to her as ma'am, as in ham. And I had this word ham in my head, and I was horrified that that might somehow slip out. So we were led down to an entryway, a door just like that, and we lined up, and there were about a dozen of us. And us journos did the only thing we could think of. We put the two cameramen at the front, who were dressed in a pair of runners and a daggy T-shirt and shorts, so that as these doors opened up, there were these two blokes in shorts and T-shirts standing there to be presented to the Queen. It came my turn to be presented, and you walk forward, and there'd be someone standing there who would read your name and pronounce you to the Queen and the Duke. And I'm going to do this in slow motion because it was a frightful moment. I've been presented, and the Duke in slow motion starts to offer his hand towards me. So I think, okay, it's okay to shake hands. So I start heading towards the Duke, and I'm partway there, but at that moment, the Queen starts offering her hand. And I have this dilemma. And I realise that if this was 300 years earlier, the wrong decision here could send me to the gallows. So I did the only thing. Instinct took over, and as an Australian, I instantly snubbed the Duke, headed towards the Queen, and shook her hand. And then we were ushered inside, and once we were all in, the drinks came around, and rather than being tea, they were offering Crown Lagers, a good Aussie beer. And so we stood there, the Queen came over to chat, and it's one of the great afternoons of my life. There we were, having a crownie with the Crown. And we chatted, we talked about corgis, we talked about all sorts of things. But at the end of it, I had the feeling that I often get as a reporter, what am I doing here? How did I get here? How did I end up being here? Not just with the Queen, but with on any day, on a jet with Jet Travolta, or hanging out with the Prime Minister, or in the lounge room of a widow who's just lost her husband in Iraq or somewhere like that. How did I get here? And I find that a common question I ask as a journalist, what am I doing here? It was a question I know Daniel in the Old Testament would have asked himself. He was an ordinary bloke who was promoted to the inner sanctum of royalty, and then he was given some of that power. And there are many parallels in Daniel's life to our working life, and over the next 48 hours, Dominic's going to unpack those. So if you want to supercharge that experience, read the first chapter of Daniel tonight or tomorrow morning before you come along tomorrow. It's going to be a really good experience. What I briefly want to talk to you about tonight is how we as normal everyday reporters can have, or journalists or photographers or cameramen or radio people or online people can have an impact on the people around us where we are right now. I'm going to nominate someone at the table, the person with the least amount of hair at each table. Thanks, Mark, that would be you. Reach over into the centre of your table and you'll find a small pile of sandpaper there. I wonder if you could find the sandpaper. It's between the drinks in the centre, and pass it around there. This is not to do your nails with, okay? I want us to start thinking about the world we live and work in. And I'm going to jump to a really extreme example so I can make this point really quickly. You might have heard the case of Megan Meyer recently. She was the girl who was playing on MySpace, and she met what she thought was a young guy called Josh Evans. Now, several weeks later, Josh Evans dumped her and wrote derogatory comments on her MySpace page, and she took her own life. She committed suicide in her bedroom. Now, Josh Evans turned out to be a 49-year-old mother who was posing as a teenage boy, and she's now been last week indicted on 4 counts, including accessing protected computers without authorization to obtain information to inflict emotional distress. Now, it's an extreme case, but the point I want to really quickly make is we live in a world that by default would prefer to tear us up rather than build us up, to graze us rather than guide us, to scar us rather than soothe us, a world that deflates on a daily basis rather than pumps up, where everybody is out for number one. Point number one, we live in a sandpaper world. Just feel it in your fingers there. That's what life is for many people on a daily basis. And whether it's bullying in the playground or whether it's the person in the newsroom who's ostracized and joked about, that's daily life in our world. So how do we counteract that? How do we impact this world? Well, have a listen to this verse. It's in 1 John 4. This is real love. It is not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. It's from 1 John 4, 10 to 11. The key here, this doesn't start from us, but it was in his heart first. He loves us, then we love him, and we're set free to love others. This kindness and loyalty are deeper than we imagine, because of his commitment to us. Now, I've got 3 kids, and I love them to bits, and they love me. And when I come home, my 5-year-old daughter clutches onto my leg, and as I try and go and get changed, it's like walking along like this. She just won't let go of me. And when I told my son this morning that I was going away, he said, "Dad, do you love us more than a bunch of strangers down in Sydney?" It's like, well, buddy, I'll be back on Saturday night. But as much as I love my kids, the Bible, to try and express how much more God loves us, he calls my love so pitiful, he calls it evil. In comparison, that's how pitiful my amount of love is for my children, is that's how more grander is his love. So, dear friends, since God loved us so much, we surely ought to love each other. So he's our pattern, he's our example. When we run out of kindness and loyalty, we find it in him. This isn't a matter of good manners or being nice, but acting as we've been treated by him. Now, the year I joined Channel 7, I was posted to a bureau out in the suburbs. It's on the south side of Brisbane. If it was in Sydney, you'd probably call it the Mount Druitt Bureau. It's way out west where all the crime happens. And I was given a really grumpy cameraman, and I couldn't do a thing right. So if a story broke on a day off and I rang him up, I'd get blasted for ringing him up on his day off. Okay, mental note, don't ring him on his day off. Next time a big story breaks on his day off, didn't phone him. The next day I got blasted for undermining his position by not ringing him when he was on a day off. I couldn't win. But the good news is I didn't have to win. When faced with sandpaper, we can respond in a different way. So if the bald people again can delve into the centre of the table and pull out some other things, some silk. When faced with sandpaper, I just had to offer silk treatment. And we're still friends. Last week I spoke to him. His marriage has just broken up. And we're good friends. And we drag him along to various church services when we're dedicating children, and we might have to have a few more kids just so we can invite him along a few more times. Actually, there must be easier ways than doing it that way. But why are we still friends? Because we offered silk treatment rather than the sandpaper that the world lives by. So if you're taking down notes, this is the point. I give silk treatment when I treat people according to my promise and not by their performance. And I find that a good way to live by. Now, not to say that that's how I always feel like, what I always feel like doing. And I can think of, here's eight reasons why not to do it. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Love them anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and transparent anyway. People who need help may attack you if you help them. Help them anyway. Give the world the best you have and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world your best anyway. I don't have time to do it. I struggle with that the most. I'm too busy. I have too many things to do. I don't have time. But have you ever noticed with books, they only write on 70% of the page. They leave this big gap around the edge. It would be far more efficient. They'd spend less on printing. Their carbon footprint would be right down if they printed right across the page. But the reason the margins are there is so that it's easier for your eyes to read. And so in my life, I need to have margins around the work I do so that if I bump into someone in the corridor, I've got time to have an unplanned conversation with them rather than rushing from one point to the other. So what can I do to serve those around me? I'm going to go through a few points. And I'm applying this to a newsroom, but it can apply to any workplace, anywhere. First, be the first on the team to help others out. In newsrooms, great stories are never crafted alone. It's a group effort. So be the first to offer a shot list to help out someone else, to offer a contact, to put someone onto another contact, to dig out some file vision, to organise some graphics, to go the extra mile, whatever it takes to communicate to someone that I'm on your side and I care about you. Second, be the go-to person. Every basketball team has the go-to person that in the, you know, like you see in the movies, there's 5 seconds to go, they need a three-pointer to win the match, and there's the go-to person, the person they'll throw the ball to because they can count on that person to make the goal. In your newsroom or wherever you are, be the go-to person. And that might mean you need to increase your skills or work a bit harder, but become the person that they can rely on, that when something happens, they go to you because they know you'll get the job done. When interns come to your newsroom, what do? Are you too busy to care because, let's face it, there's a different one every day and you ask them what they want to do and they say, I'd like to be a newsreader, which is code in our newsroom to forget it and just don't worry about them. But how do you treat interns and people like that? Do you have time to talk to them? I know that when I did my internships 20 years ago, I can still remember those experiences and the people who treated me well, I still think very favourably of. I can still remember the chief of staff at Channel 9 in Brisbane telling me that I couldn't go for a ride in the helicopter because I was a work experience student, but then letting the really cute blonde girl go in the helicopter. Not that I hold that against them, but we did smash them in the ratings last night, so that was good again. On the road, when we're out on the road, be helpful and polite to our position. Not lame or limp or soft, because we're going to beat the pants off them anyway, but we can still be fair and reasonable with the people we work with. And when it comes to your boss, no matter what job you do, I've come to realise a really simple key. And you can write this down if you want. My aim is to over-deliver every time. Over-deliver. When I first started, I think I had the art of just going out and I knew I'd just get enough to put a story together. Just enough interviews, just enough overlay, just enough and I'd have a story. But I've now realised I need to go the extra mile. I need to deliver a better story. I need to find better talent, better pitches, a better promo, and deliver better ratings. Why do ratings count? They do to my boss, so they do to me too. So I try and over-deliver. And just like Daniel, who delivered the answer to the king's puzzling dream, we'll hear a bit more about that tomorrow, you'll suddenly have more power than you realise or feel you deserve. But enough of Daniel, you'll hear that tomorrow. Look, summing up, we stand on the edge of a really exciting weekend of teaching. And as we do, take those two things in your hand. Touch the sandpaper. It's rough. Who has felt your rough sandpaper this week? Stroke the silk. who needs your kindness in the coming week or month? When we offer silk treatment in a sandpaper world, amazing things happen on a daily basis. It takes time, over months, over years, but stuff happens. And it's also a reminder of how we've been treated. We deserve sandpaper for what we've done in our life, and instead God gives us much, much more than silk. So across the weekend, allow it to prompt you to think of ways you can serve people. Shove them in your pockets. I love pockets. You stick things in your pockets and 6 months later you'll be somewhere. It's like, what was that? And it's some business card or something you've met from someone you've met from months ago. But let them remind you of principles and ways in your life, your daily walk, that you can offer silk treatment in a sandpaper world. Thanks, everyone.